Let me read you a few lines that I like. I think is a real, paints a wonderful picture of a human being. Oh, the comfort, the inexpressible comfort of feeling safe with a person, having neither to weigh thoughts nor measure words, but pouring them all right out just as they are, chaff and grain together, and certain that a faithful hand will sift them and keep what is worth keeping and blow the rest away. Doesn't that sound great? Boy, what would a man give for a wife like that? Probably as much as a woman would give for a husband like that. How seriously do you take the Bible? Does it really make any difference to you what it says? And if you read something about parent-child relations in the Bible that contradicted something you read in another book, would you reject what the Bible says, or would you reject what the other book says? Well, you know, this is an issue that I had to decide a long time ago. And my decision was that for me, the Bible is not on trial. The other book is. And for me, my standard of evaluating another book is the Bible. And so if the other book says something that disagrees with the Bible, I'll reject the book. To me, any speaker that I listen to is on trial, not the Bible. And if he contradicts my understanding of what the Scriptures say, I'll stick with the Scriptures. Now, I have said a few things here that I believe are pretty important for us to remember, and I want to repeat them again. I'm talking about biblical principles. Do biblical principles mean anything to you? Now, listen to this. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God hath given you. You know, a lot of us adults make it pretty hard for kids to do that. And here is one of the objectives of an adult, to make it easy for your children to honor you. Now, here's another verse, Philippians 4:9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Doesn't that sound presumptuous or egotistical? But you stop and think about that. That's a minimum requirement of an adult if you want to lead your children. Now, here's another one, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way that he should go. I can't think of anything any more comforting than to think about a real nice lady married to a real nice man, and these two people are friends, and these two people sitting down to decide what's best for your children. Can you think of anything any more comforting than that? And the two of you working together to make sure that the best that you can think of happens to your children. Now, to me, that's the opportunity and that's the challenge of parenthood. And once you sit down and to decide what is best for your children, I've said it, I'll say it again, that you can expect your children to resist some of what you believe is best for them. And you see, then it's a question of their judgment versus yours. I can remember when I was a kid, one time I wanted to go out, and I tried to talk my mother into letting me go out. And I explained to her where I wanted to go, and she said I couldn't go. And so I tried to persuade her to go out. And I'd approached her something like this. Oh, come on, Mom, please. Won't you please let me go out, Mom? Please, Mom. You know, I try to make myself look as pathetic and sound as pathetic as I possibly could. I was appealing to her sympathy and her mother instinct, I thought. And obviously she would melt at somebody as sincere as me. And she said, no. And I said, oh, please, Mom. Please, won't you let me go out? She said, no. Well, no use of being decent. So you have to try something else. Let's see, what could I try? Oh, yeah, here's one. So you say you love me, huh? Now, how could any mother that loved her child treat me the way you're treating me? Can I go? And she said, no. And then I'd say, but Mom, do you realize that everybody else but me is going? Now, you wouldn't want to make a freak out of me, would you? Can I go? She'd say, no. Well, now, what else can you think of? You see, my objective was to get out of there, that's all. I wasn't interested in my well-being. I had already decided I was going to get out, that's all. And isn't that familiar to you? Well, let's say you try something else. And so you call yourself a Christian. How could any Christian woman treat me like that? Can I go? She'd say no. Do you know there were times when I didn't make it? I'd be so mad. And then I'll tell you what I did. And I used all the ingenuity and all the creativity that I could come up with to make life miserable for my mother until I went to bed. Does that sound familiar to you? I've gone to bed defeated. And I would say to myself, how did a fella ever get saddled with parents like this? Do you know, there were times when I said to myself, I wish I were dead. And I could even picture myself in my coffin. And there my poor mother came and looked down at my dead body. And I said to myself in that coffin, serves you right. And do you know, I grew up and got married and had some children. And to my amazement, I saw and heard some of that same reasoning coming out of my children's mouth. And here I found myself interfering with the wishes of my children. Now, mind you, if you just look at me briefly, you realize that I've been around a long time. And the ideas that I came up with to try to persuade my mother to let me go are the same arguments that you're hearing from your children today. Isn't that right? Your children aren't that original. And they're saying, look at what you're doing to me. And after all, a nice lady like you, you wouldn't want to ruin my life, would you? And what your children want and what they want so fervently isn't always what they need. Now, there are some ideas in the scriptures that tell you how sincere you ought to be in seeing to it that your children do what you want them to do. Let me read you some of those Bible verses. Ecclesiastes 8:11. Because sentence for an evil act is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? Did you follow that? That's a very basic principle. If sentence for an evil act is not executed speedily, If you don't receive the consequences for your behavior quickly, what happens? The hearts of the sons of your children are set within them to repeat it. And after all, if you try something and get away with it once, and I see this and hear about it time and time again, when children are old enough to go out, and their mothers say, come in at 10, and they're not there. And the mothers say, I wish you would listen to me. Why don't you listen to me? Now, it's in your best interest to come in at 10, and a child says, yes, mother, I forgot. Okay, next time, come in at 10. Now, when you do that, no consequences, your child has a 50-50 chance of getting away with it the next time. That's the way they'll reason. And a 50-50 chance, pretty good. That's worth gambling on. So they try it again. Maybe come home a little later. And that time, mother isn't even there. She hasn't gotten home yet. So the child slips into the house and says to herself, whew, got away with that one. Well, now, the next time she tries it, you see, she's got a 2/3, 1/3 chance of getting away with it. Now, those are pretty good odds. And pretty soon, your children simply conclude that my parents aren't interested enough in this limit to see to it that it's carried out. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the worst thing that you can do, is to set a limit that you're not prepared to carry out. And as I've been saying to you, you do need to be prepared to deal with the resistance of your children. Let me give you one more illustration of resistance as it pertains to small children. I used to be supervisor of some little nursery schools, what we called cooperative nursery schools, where parents would come together and they'd bring their children to this nursery school, and we would teach parents what made little children tick. And I came to this one nursery school. This was in Michigan. It was wintertime. And one of our rules was when the children go outside to play, they must wear their snowsuits. And I came into this yard, and all the children were out there, and they were all in their snowsuits but one. And where was the snowsuit? Draped over the arm of the lady that was watching them. And I said to the lady, why doesn't that child have its snowsuit on? And the lady said, she won't let me put it on. Now, believe it or not, here's this big lady and a little child. And the lady says, she won't let me. So I said to her, why don't you let me watch you try it? And so she takes the snowsuit, kind of gingerly, frightened, and walks up to the child and says, would you like to put your snowsuit on? And the little child says, no! And the mother turned to me and said, see? So I said, give me the snowsuit, and I'll show you how to put it on. And so I took the snowsuit. Of course, first I had to catch this child. And finally I caught it. And this child was pulling and resisting. But anyway, I got one sleeve in and I got the other sleeve in. And to my embarrassment, I realized that's not how you put snowsuits on. But at least I was doing something. I was trying. You know, so I started over again, pulled out his sleeves and got one leg in and then the other leg in and both the arms, and that child was tugging and fighting me every inch of the way, and I zipped him up. That child gave me one final dirty look and ran off to play. And the lady looked at me as though I was a miracle man. Now, what did I do? I did anything that I needed to do in order to help that child on with a snowsuit. Now, did that child need a snowsuit? Was I doing a bad thing, or was I doing a good thing? And you need to be convinced that what you are doing is in the best interests of your child. And if in your judgment it's in the best interests of your child and you're decent about it, you ought to do anything you need to do in order to see to it that it's done. Now, parenthood is just that simple. How simple? Two dedicated people who care the most of any people in the world about your children, sitting down to decide what in your judgment, your mutual judgment now, is in the best interests of your children. And parenthood is just that simple. Now, your children are going to resist you in all kinds of ways. And, for example, there's the question of church. That question comes up many, many times. What do I do about my children going to church? Well, it depends upon your judgment. Do you have any doubt about whether your children ought to go to school? Now, for most of us, when our children resist school, the only question in our minds is, how do we get them there? Never should we. Isn't that so? Do you have any doubt about whether or not your children should visit a doctor? I remember one of our children didn't like doctors. And when it was necessary to take that child to a doctor, I had to scoop that child up, kicking and screaming, and plunk it in the car, and drag it into the doctor's office and hold her down. Now, is that any way to treat a child? Well, I've even had occasion when I had to go into the doctor's office, and the nurse sat on one end of that child, and I sat on the other. Well, the doctor let her have it. And that child would scream. Is that any way to treat a child? It certainly is. If I loved my child and my child needed medical attention, the only question in my mind was how to get her there, not should I. None of our children have rejected doctors. None of our children have rejected education. My son, he's got as much education as I have. All our children went through college. We never had any concern about whether or not our children would reject education. Now, there is another thing that we thought was important at our house, and that was church. And my wife and I decided that in the best interests of our children, they're going to church twice every Sunday and every Wednesday. Now, I didn't ask you what your opinion was. This is what was the judgment, the considered judgment of my wife, who is the world's greatest expert on the subject of our two children, and myself. And so the only question that we had to ask was, how do we get them there? Now, all three of our children had comments about church, like, wait till I turn 18. I will never darken a church door again. You make me go to church and you'll regret it. We heard all the standard statements that you hear. In my judgment, church is good for you. And and the question of whether they should go was at our house debatable, but not negotiable. They could say anything they wanted. You know, one day, one of our children didn't want to go to prayer meeting. She simply announced, teenager, I'm not going. Well, that's a very simple problem. You have to help her get there. How do you do that? Well, the first thing, we had to help her on with her shoes. Now, when a teenager doesn't want shoes on, it takes two of you to get them on. But between my wife and me, and we worked hard at it, we got her shoes on. Now, the next job is to get her moving. And so we had to get her up. And we discovered that her knees wouldn't work. You know, she went like this. I won't. Like that. And pretty hard to get a person outside whose knees won't work. And especially difficult to get her into the car. But we got her in. You know, we drove up to the church, and one of her girlfriends were standing there on the curb, and she jumped out, and you know, that girlfriend of hers had no idea how we got her there. You see, all she needed was a little help. You say, what did you do about it after that? We didn't do anything about it. She needed some help, and we gave it to her, and that's the end of it. You know what? After church, she came up and said, hey, why do you say we stop and get an ice cream sundae on the way home? Well, why not? If I were to deprive her of one, I would deprive me of one. And I didn't do anything wrong. And neither did she, really. The only thing that happened was that she had a little bit of a resistance streak, and she needed some help to get past it. Now, don't be afraid to help your children. We had this experience one time. Our son decided he was going outside. He was going out. And we had decided that he wasn't going out. And he said he was. And so I took my own advice that I had given other children and other parents, and I got between him and the door. Well, he proceeded to remove me from there. And as he came along, I looked him over. He was almost as tall as me and in better shape. And you know, that fellow sure needed a lot of help that night. And we were both tired by the time I helped him stay home. Now you say, won't that shape his destiny forever after? I think it helped. What did it do? It served to show him that we cared enough about him that we're going to do everything that we could do to make happen what we think is the best for him. Now, if that's the worst criticism a child can have of their parents, that's not too bad. Now, it may be that our judgment might be a little faulty along the way, but there is no question about our intent. There's no question about our attitude or our dedication to those children. We were... This matter of a man and a woman who are friends coming to a meeting of minds about what's best for your children. And I don't know anything any more pleasant than the prospect of a nice lady and a nice man working together in order to guide their children in a direction that in their judgment is the best for them. And you know, that's what so many of us adults have walked away from today. And at the time when our children need our judgment and our guidance the most is when we turn them loose. Let me read you a few more scripture verses that indicate the dedication and the interest that you ought to have in your children. Proverbs 13:24. He that spares the rod hates his son. Is that a misprint? Now let me me repeat, how seriously do you take this book? Now, some of us would say that evidence of our love for our child is to just let them go, and that proves your love. This says, he that spares the rod hates his son, but he that loves him will chasten him. Think it over. Now, you aren't venting your wrath on your children. See, that's not the idea here. We're talking about a real nice man who cares enough about his son so that if necessary, I don't see this as a club-wielding, hostile, out-of-control, blowing-up kind of parent. The picture here is a loving parent who cares enough that if necessary, you'll use the rod. Listen to this, Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof, giving your child your judgment, and enforcing it with a rod if necessary. The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. You can see that all around you, can't you? What happens when a child is left to himself? Once more, correct your son and he will give you rest. Yea, he will give delight unto your soul. Do you care what the Bible says? If you do, and let me challenge you to be guided by these principles. And 20 years later, your children will call you blessed.